One, two, three. This is Dr. Alex Avila with Love University, and we're back. I'm an author, speaker, and psychologist. Every week we talk about how to love yourself, others, and a higher nature, how to improve your life, your finances, career, relationships, health, and spirituality. And we've been having some really fascinating guests. We had Marianne Williamson, the presidential candidate, on the show recently. And today we have another very interesting guest. Her name is Dr. Emmeline Hasselbeck. She comes from Germany, but now lives in San Francisco. She holds a PhD in technology and innovation management, is a serial entrepreneur with a passion for sports, tech, and digital branding. She is the founder and CEO of The Bunch Up, an organization that has the mission to revolutionize team sports by making it accessible, available, and flexible. She's a speaker, social media influencer, and international businesswoman who has worked in many countries, Singapore, India, Australia, China, UK, and the US. On top of all that, she's a basketball coach, a music teacher, and a mom. Welcome, Emmeline, to the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, sounds like you do a lot of things. How do you manage all these different activities and events?
Oh, yeah, I wonder about that too sometimes. I think the key is to just do whatever you really enjoy doing and to really have fun. And I think that's what I'm focusing on. And that doesn't feel like a hard way to get things managed.
Exactly. Yeah. Now you call yourself a serial entrepreneur. Now, I've heard of serial killers, but what is a serial entrepreneur? Is there something that's better than that?
I hope it's better than that.
Oh, okay, I hope so. Okay.
So serial entrepreneur basically is that I had like more than one startup so far. So I've been growing up in an entrepreneurial family, and I started my first venture pretty early, like when I was a student or at school and later in university. But also when I was starting my first job, I learned very fast that the corporate world is not really mine. And I started my own business in tech after that. And and lately, just fast forward to now, I started to move more into the B2C kind of business, which is digital marketing and also the sports startup you mentioned earlier.
Now, Melanie, when you say the word serial, are you saying you start one business and then another, or do you do multiple businesses at one time?
I think correctly they use serial entrepreneur means one business after another, but I actually do multiple businesses at the same time. Yeah, both is applicable to me.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, let's say that we have people listen to the show, maybe some young individuals that want to be entrepreneurs, business people. What advice do you have? How do you become an entrepreneur in today's society and even a serial entrepreneur? What do you do?
I actually think it was never easier than today because all the information is so accessible now in the internet, and you also have like this whole big internet thing going that means that you can actually basically start your business, an online business, if you are a self-starter and learn for yourself. I mean, there's so many good resources over there. And if I think about how I got into digital marketing, it's not my background. I didn't get educated formally for that. I just started learning it at some point. I got interested in Instagram and social media and LinkedIn. Basically, those were my two passionate social media platforms I was passionate about. But then also like a little more in SEO. So I started researching and learning more about it. So I started my day with, when I was brushing my teeth, I was just listening to podcasts at the same time, and I was looking, watching at YouTube videos, and that's where I actually learned everything. And over time, I had my own small little project. I started an e-commerce store, which was completely automated and online, and I developed my skills just by doing. And I think that's the key to entrepreneurship, that you don't overthink and that you just you don't have to be perfect and to know everything perfectly. You just get started and you will learn on the go, and that's the whole secret, I guess.
Okay, so learn on the go and do something you love to do. Yeah. And you also say you're what we call a technology evangelist. Now, I think of an evangelist as someone who spreads the gospel or some kind of good news through the world. Because I know you have something called Million Metrics, some kind of digital marketing or service. So what is it that you try to help people do in the world?
So it's different, depending on the company's mission. So first and foremost, for me, when I start a business, I look at what I'm passionate about. That's the first thing. And I think based on that, you can actually, you will understand the clients, the market, everything better when you are passionate about something. So with the digital marketing agency, which is Million Metrics, we started to focus on hospitality clients and travel because I'm super passionate about travel, and I traveled my whole 20s basically. And so I learned learned a lot about that. I understand this market pretty well, and I just thought that it would be like the lowest entry for me to get started, or where I feel like very knowledgeable actually as well. And I think that's from that standpoint of, you can actually add value to your clients pretty well. You understand what they are looking for, whom they are targeting. You speak their language in a sense as well, and I feel that's kind of a contribution. When you just do things you're passionate about, you will actually definitely have a contribution in some way, because you know what you're talking about. That's where you get started.
Yes. Now, Malini, there's a lot of positives to technology. It connects people. People can work anywhere in the world, from their laptop. But the downside is that sometimes people can feel disconnected. There's a term called digital nomad, where people no longer want to connect to either communities or even relationships, because there's always a better one over the horizon, and they can meet people online, or they can move to different communities. So what do you think of that part of it? Is there a negative side to the whole technology, internet stuff? And if there is, how do we deal with that? How do we improve it?
Yeah, I would totally agree with that, because I've been, as an entrepreneur, that's also like a downside, that you spend a lot of time alone and a lot of time disconnected from others. You don't have this office space where you go to and work. So especially as a digital nomad, I used to be one, so I can tell you firsthand stories about that. So you basically work for yourself. And there are a couple of, like, now you know that there are multiple co-working options that you can actually just go someplace and work with others. It's also, and I personally think it's still a way of being disconnected from the world, because you don't really work together on something. So I actually started to level up a little more on my interests and my hobbies, that I was like, I have to take that a little more serious. So I play basketball in the team. That's where I actually meet people. And it's a nice environment, because we all have the same passion, the same interests, and we just like play together. When I go surfing, I go with my friends as well. So it's more like in the recreational space. So when you're self-employed, I think the recreational part just becomes more significant, because that's where you build connections, basically.
No, I'm a lady.
And I think it's very important.
You're the fastest talking German person I've ever met. You're like me. Now, I'm Spanish, and we speak fast, but is that true? Do Germans speak quickly, or is that just your style?
I think it's my Tamil roots. Tamil is a very, very fast language. My parents are from Sri Lanka.
Sri Lanka.
So I grew up with Tamil.
Yeah. Okay.
So, and Tamil is a very fast language. And I hear that a lot. Also in German, the Germans complain that I'm speaking very fast.
Are Germans, do they speak hello, da, slow, or do they speak fast in Germany?
I think it's moderate. I wouldn't say they're very slow speakers, but they're also
moderate.
Not fast speakers.
Okay.
Yeah.
That would be an interesting study if we did like a world speech rate, how fast people speak. Because I know in some cultures it's probably slower, some are faster. So that would be an interesting study.
And I think it's even more than the culture, because I live in San Francisco, and right here, I feel the overall pace is also a bit faster.
Okay.
That's my impression.
Interesting. So now, one thing, Emelina, that I think we have in common is that we love sports. I love sports. My son played college basketball, and I know you play that basketball. And also, you have a new organization. You call it Bunch Up. And you talk about some kind of community that you build with people actually playing sports together. I think basketball, dodgeball, and soccer. And in the U.S., 40% of children play a U.S. team sport. 112 million people watched the Super Bowl recently, and 480,000 tourists go to the Rio Olympics. Overall, the sports market in the U.S. is $73 billion. So you're dealing with a very big kind of organization here. Tell us a little about how it works with you, with Bunch Up.
So what you said, like what you mentioned earlier, is that the kids, they play, and the other one watch, basically. So that's like the problem what we are targeting and solving, because for team sports, the drop rate after high school, like around the age of 20, is like extremely high. There are more than 70% who drop team sports completely and altogether. So we just want to get more people back into playing team sports instead of moving on to individual sports like fitness, because as we also said earlier, the life is getting like more isolated now these days, or these like with the new technology trend and internet and everything coming up, and sports, we forget like the power of sports to connect people, basically. And I think team sports is one of the best way to do that. And what we do with Bunch Up is that we organize leagues for different kinds of team sports, where people have like a certain purpose to win, like to have this kind of team sports feeling, what you have. I don't know if you can recall it from your time when you were playing, or I don't know if you're still playing, but when I was playing in high school, I could definitely tell that we have like some sort of team sport mentality in our teams. We became really good friends. That's where we made like a very different kind of connection to compared to what you will make in other places actually, at work or wherever. So that's something you want to like get more people into. It's not that that we want them to move away from fitness or anything. They should do whatever they're doing, okay. But also like to benefit more also from a social side.
Right. Now, Emilini, yeah. I'm here with my producer, Reggie, and Reggie has got a little bit of game, right, Reggie? You can play some sports? Well, maybe not, but I mean, let's say, I think he's a mental person, but we want to get him into sports, right? Sports can help him, I guess, get in good shape and also meet people. So how does Reggie get into this thing, this league of yours? We're here in like Southern California. Can we start one here or how do we do it?
Well, right now, actually, we launched our business in Germany, first of all. So,
okay,
I mean, right now.
Oh, okay. So we have to fly to Germany to do this right now, right? Is that right?
You have to fly to Germany to do this.
Okay.
So we want to launch in the U.S. as well, but we started out in Germany. So the only thing you have to do is just to sign up, basically. You have to pick the sports, you pick the slot where you have time, and then you just sign up and join the first game, and from there on, it will all be you don't have to do anything as a client, actually.
So, Reggie, what sport do you want to sign up for of these sports? Badminton, chess, which one do you want to do?
Well, I used to run track, so I'm going to track.
Oh, perfect. Is there any kind of running sport that he can do some running in, Amelini?
Yeah, we actually, I mean, if it's running in groups, it's group sports basically, because you still do it on an individual basis. So we are more focused on team sports where like basketball, soccer, that people actually have to interact and play together and have a common goal.
Fantastic. You know, I was doing some reading on psychology of sports, and actually, I think you even mentioned that people talk about physical benefits, but there are also a lot of psychological benefits, especially one that's called sports as a point of connection. They say that sports is kind of a ritual. People follow sports teams and play sports in places where maybe religion is not as strong. It's a way to be connected to people in a higher sense. And you see someone that has a shirt, like for your sports team, and then you recognize that, you can even start a conversation. So it's a way to break the ice even. How do you see the advantage of that, that this is a way we can connect with people?
Yeah, I think this is like one of the biggest advantages we see like in team sports compared to fitness or anything else, because physical health you can also get there, but this part of mental health where you can that comes out of just only connecting with people in a different way, I think that's like the major part, and there is so much around it. It's not just only that you just play in a team on a Tuesday night. It's also about, like as you said, like he's wearing the same shirt, so we are like part of the same group, you know, and following the same philosophy maybe as well. I think that's very important, for especially in today's world where religion, for instance, is not that important anymore. We don't have that many options to be in a real community. So, and I feel in sports, it's like you just get to know each other from a very different side. It's not like this business side of yours where you would go out and just say, like, I'm XYZ, I'm a lawyer or something. You know, you would just go out and you just play. You don't have this kind of identity, what you have out there, what you're working with. So I think that makes a huge difference, and that allows people to connect in a very different way and to build like really fundamentally different relationships, which from my perspective are like more closer, actually.
Yeah, and also the other thing about sports, we call it vicarious identification, that people see the team as an extension of themselves. So when they win, actually they feel good. So they did a study on this where they had college basketball team fans watch their team win, and then they asked them, how well can you do this task? And people that saw their team win had more confidence in their ability to do the task, even more self-esteem. So we see that there's even more positive emotion. Now, of course, if you lose, then you can say, well, you know, we tried our best and we couldn't do it. So how do you see that? Do you see that in some ways people can have more self-esteem or even confidence collectively as being part of a team?
Yeah. I mean, I know that there was a study done recently about dodgeball, how it's like comparable to mobbing. I wouldn't agree with that at all, because, you know, I see team sports as completely beneficial. It doesn't matter if you're like really good or really not so good. I think for everyone who plays now recreationally in an age after 20 something, like when you're not having professional aspirations to become a professional player or anything, it's about this kind of it's a connection point. And I think it's a very, I forgot the question actually in the middle. What happened?
Oh, maybe you're playing too much sports right now, Emily, or you have some of the good German wine or something. But no, what I was asking is that. You know how we identify with our sports teams, right? You know, we kind of become one with them. So if we win, you know, we feel great. I mean, it's a self-esteem booster. But of course, if we lose, it can be difficult. How do you teach people how to overcome losing, for example?
Oh, okay, yeah. So the losing part, that's a nice thing about team sports, because if you lose, you don't have to blame yourself. You can blame the whole team as a whole.
Okay, it's called attribution
theory.
So
you share.
Okay.
How is it called? How did you call it?
Attribution theory, like you cause or explanation for a result. So someone else, or the referee was bad. We had a bad ref that day. Or something like that.
No, it can also be like the team as a whole. You wouldn't blame an individual player. Like you played bad, and that's why we lost. Nobody would do that. So you take the blame as a team.
Okay.
And so I've been playing in different teams, and some of them were really good at that, what they did, and others weren't that good. But you feel connected and responsible for the result, but you don't individually blame anyone. So that's a nice thing about being a team. You know.
That makes sense.
It's not only about winning and losing.
You can pick each other up. Like maybe one person maybe made a mistake.
Exactly.
You can support the person, and you build camaraderie. Because I read that one of the things that athletes miss the most is that when they leave the sports team is that they miss that camaraderie. You know, hanging out with their buddies. You know, having lunch or whatever, going out. You know.
Yeah.
So there's a very strong community there. So I think you're on the right track. This is something very interesting. And also the idea of nostalgia. You know, a lot of kids played as kids and now they're adults and they look back on them as really wonderful times with their parents, perhaps, playing a sport.
Absolutely.
And now they're older. Now, how old can we go? Can we go 40, 50, 80? How old can we be in this thing?
We don't have an age limit that we would say you have to stop playing when you're 70 or something. You can play as long as you want to.
Of course,
we have to make sure that the teams are mixed in a way that everyone enjoys it. So it all just comes down to a certain age group at the end. I mean, it's usually
I read about a couple of 100-year-old joggers. There's one guy, I think he's Japanese. He was 100 years old. He completed some kind of race. And it was pretty amazing. So as long as their bones don't break, we're okay, no? As long as I can get through the finish line.
Exactly, yes, And in team sports, you should try to like make an effort to like really be a team player at the end. You know, it's not about just only pushing yourself to the limits.
You seem like a fascinating person. I like your energy. You seem very enthusiastic about things. And I'm kind of curious, so what about your life? Did you have any life experiences that kind of give you a meaning in life or even a breakthrough, a spiritual breakthrough that changed you in a way, in a good way?
So when I was a child or a kid, I mean, my parents were immigrants in Germany. So I was always like a little bit different, I would say, you know, like I always had this special status. Like it wasn't negative, it wasn't positive, it was just different. And therefore I was, I mean, the way people perceived me was different. And
how are you different, Amalini? In what way?
Yeah, so I was, I mean, as I mentioned, my parents are from Sri Lanka. I was born and raised in Germany, and I was I was growing up in a very little small town, and I was one of the very few immigrants, actually, who were living there.
Wow.
And but I always had this kind of, you know, you will never be like everyone else kind of stamp, you know, but it is not bad. It's not a good thing. It was just different, you know, and it opened up like a totally different view for me on a lot of things. And as I mentioned earlier, my parents were also like, they were entrepreneurs. They were like also trying out things and trying to build companies and trying to build business and, you know, trying to make a living like as immigrants in a different country where they didn't speak the language. So I grew up with it with a lot of, so do things differently kind of attitude. So, and I think...
But was there anything an obstacle? Did you get turned down for a date? Did you someone insult you? Did you have a break your leg? Was there anything in life that you overcame? Or even a failure, like to cut you from the high school team or something, and you overcame that?
Well, the thing is, like, where I wanted to go to with this was, like, I don't think that I'm thinking in a way that I had failure. I had, like, to overcome something or that I had failures. It's more like a set of experiences. And it's just like I have a different kind of judgment system is what I feel, you know, because like the cultures I was growing up in were so different from each other that I couldn't judge like what is bad and what is good, what is like successful, what is a failure, you know. So everything was like successful and a failure in a way, you know. I don't know if I put it correctly. It sounds a little confusing. But
so you're saying we're looking at the positive side of things. You're an optimistic person. So you
definitely
you look at the best part of even things that are difficult or challenging can be used. How important is love in your life, Amalina? And how do you define it? Because we at Love University, we talk about love in many ways. It could be romantic love. It could be self-love, spiritual love, love of humanity. Mm. How do you define love and how important is it to you?
For me, love, I mean, of course, I think I'll go with the mainstream definitions. First of all, romantic love, of course. And then you have like the love for family, for friends, for everyone who's close to your community. And then it just like triples up to, goes up to a bigger scale where you think about community, the world, whatever. And I mean, for me, it is a very important part because so we grew up very family oriented. So the family love thing is like one of the most important in my life. And more than that, and something we have to cultivate, or I had to cultivate actually, was more the self-love aspect, you know, that you actually do things to also take care of yourself, and that it really helps everyone if you take care of yourself first. And yeah, I'm practicing that a little more now, like especially since I have a kid who's 5 years old. And since I became a mom, I was even more like focused around family and, you know, like every other obligation you might have in your life. And you feel everything is like something you have to give a lot more than you can take for yourself. And therefore, I just try to just like change my focus a little bit and also just focus a little more on practicing self-love, in a sense that I take time for whatever I feel is necessary or has to be done, or if it's just only taking care of myself, basically.
Okay.
Yeah.
I was reading in one of your social media things, you said something like, live fast and die old. Now, there's a classic phrase that goes, live fast, die young, and leave a good-looking corpse. But you're actually saying the opposite. You're saying live fast but die old. Now, isn't that a kind of contradiction? How can we live fast and die old? Isn't that a little more reckless if we live fast?
I think like everyone can have everything what they want to. So that's like my first fundament, you know. And so live fast is, I think, like, you, of course, I mean, it depends on how you define live fast. I mean, for me, I want to experience as much as I can, as long as I can. And that's what I wanted to say with that.
I see. So, you're not saying drive 150 miles an hour or something on the freeway. That kind of stuff, right?
Well, I would do that because, I'm from Germany. I'll do that.
Really? Now, is that true, the Autobahn, that you can go any miles per hour? There's no limit?
Yeah.
Are you serious?
Partially it is. Yeah, it is like
that.
Wow,
it's pretty cool.
But
of course, other places you might not want to do that. So, I mean, there's a little bit of caution, you're saying. But Reggie here, why are you laughing so much? Reggie, you're laughing at this.
No, I'm just laughing because, I mean, I get the joke or whatever, like, the fast die young, and then she says the fast and die old, and then,
okay. So you want to live to be 100 and be a speed racer down the Autobahn, maybe?
Yeah. Why not?
Okay. That's good. See, you're really converting our producer, Reggie. You're making him very enthusiastic.
Great.
That's kind of cool. Now, let me ask you, Malini. So, you know, here in the U.S., we have these big movies about superheroes. And imagine, like, there's a superhero, maybe someone that you either have heard about or know. It could be a real person or a fictional person. What kind of characteristics do they have that you would like to have?
Actually, I have my personal superhero, and now I have to be very corny, is Richard Branson, because, you know, I'm an entrepreneur. He's an entrepreneur, but he's like, you know, he's like the entrepreneur from my perspective, because he's like very, I mean, you can tell that he's having fun with whatever he's doing, and he's very ambitious at the same time, and, you know, and this is like the kind of life, like from the basic lifestyle what he has. I mean, he has it all, is what I think. So I think that's exactly what I would go for, you know, like this kind of.
Now, he was on he was on Shark Tank. You may have heard the show, right? Shark Tank. And it's a business show here in the U.S. So basically entrepreneurs that get on there and, you know, offer money to people. So he's very innovative, I think, is what you say you like. But he also has fun. So you like that combination.
Yeah, and he just like is a self-starter. So whenever he's into something, like right now he wants to explore the space, and he just starts it. That's the thing. Like, if you don't have like this kind of limiting beliefs that things are not doable, instead you just like try it and you fail or you succeed, but there is like no big, there's no big perception about it. You just try it. So that's what I really like.
Exactly. Yeah. Now, Malini, what would you say is your greatest accomplishment in life, or life lesson even? And what can we learn from what you've accomplished?
That's a very, very hard question.
That's a big question, huh?
It is a big question, because I don't think that I'm like an accomplishments person, because I feel like the process is the accomplishment, that you just like constantly do things you really enjoy. I mean, I had like, it often resulted in like successful results, basically. I mean, that you just can check the checkbox it is, right?
Yeah. Yes.
You can tick the checkbox that you just made something and achieved a certain goal. But I think it's more, that was never like that satisfying for me at the end, to just like be there and to get that done. It was more about the progress, and that I really had fun and just really, progress along the way and learn something more. And that was something I was always into.
I see. Now, Emily, it's been a pleasure having you on the show. I mean, you really have this great joy, I can tell, in the work you do with business and sports also. So I'm kind of curious, so what are you excited about right now? Is there any other projects you're working on, any other business? I know you're working with Bunch Up. What do you have in store for us? What's coming up that makes you excited?
Yeah, I mean, of course, right now it's SpongeUp because it's a startup and, you know, like it's not too long. It hasn't been too long in business yet. So we're still building on it at the moment. So we want to do a more of a conceptual approach to that, that we just find more approachable ways for more ways to make it accessible to people that yes. they actually really start reconsidering team sports as well. Mm-hmm. So this is like something we're working on. And then a side thing for myself personally, because self-love, I practice self-love, is what I said, right? I love surfing. And I'm currently like really working on improving my surfing skills.
Fun. Okay, so you're balancing personal and also work as well. So you have a good balance there.
Yes.
And that's important for
people.
Yeah,
I feel like
that.
It's all the fun part, you know. So that's what mm-hmm. I think. It's not about like the mm-hmm. work is like the annoying part and this one is mm-hmm. fun. But I think mm-hmm. everything is fun. It's on its own way. And, mm-hmm. you know, that's the life kind of like I always wanted.
One thing, Amelini, how does SpongeUp differ from, you know, we have a lot of sports leagues here in the U.S. They're recreational mm-hmm. leagues. How are you going to be different mm-hmm. from those mm-hmm. other leagues?
Yeah. So I've been playing in a few of these leagues, and I think what we can do is in the U.S., because there is a league system here, is that we just focus a bit more on the community and on the community building part, that people actually really feel connected to us and to their team members as well. Yes. And that's the part we want to focus on a little more.
So are you going to have potlucks and get-togethers at people's houses, or what is the idea?
Exactly, like events after that we just really like make people interact. We want to build, currently we're building an app that people can connect to over this app as well. So it's like a digital, non-digital connection point as well. And also like community events and trying to get people as much together as possible and not just only like once a week when you're playing with the team.
That's wonderful. So you really want to create, like you said, that connection that is really lacking. Because one of the things at Love University that we talk about a lot is loneliness. We want to eradicate loneliness by the year 2025.
Yeah.
And through our community and through the world, because that's many times the diseases that we see are even more emotional than physical. And sometimes the emotional can create the physical. So I think you're really onto something very special, Amelini. And how do people find out more about you? Do you have any either books or coaching or website that people can learn about?
I have the website for BunchUp, like, which is www.bunchup.org.
Yes.
Let's leave the www out, but it's bunchup.org.
Okay.
That's where you can find more information on our sports startup.
Yes.
And other than that, I'm pretty active on social media. So that's the other place where you can find. So my social media on Instagram is @bohem, because I used to be a traveler. So
okay.
And, so those are basically the places to go. Yeah.
Fantastic. Well, Melina, again, it's been a pleasure having you on the show. We'd love to have you back on when we see more of your BunchUp here in the U.S. And want to hear some more of your stories. I think there are going to be a lot of success stories. Maybe people that are lonely or people that didn't have connection that can find that through your sports community, and that can change their lives.
Yeah.
That's our purpose at Love University, is to help people really connect with each other on a positive way to extend loving energy without expectation.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah.
Yes, fantastic. So again, this is Love University. If you want to comment on today's show, you can write to us at loveuniversitylove@gmail.com. Call us at 310-226-8090. If you have any show ideas, or if you want to be a guest, or talk a little bit about Amelini's ideas about sports, we definitely want you to do that. Also, you can like us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. And again, this is Dr. Alex Avila. All your students now, put away your notebooks, your notepads, your iPads, and put on some of your shorts and your sports gear, because Amelini, you're going to take them out to the field, right, to the courts, and they're going to have a lot of fun this week, right? Okay, Amelini. Until next time, Dr. Alex Avila, Love University. We'll see you soon.